bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Gamer Show E3 special.
Thunder!
So between 0 and 5 seconds...
Yes! New record!
Okay, so we've spent quite a while setting up. So we've got time, as with last week, for Chiz and Sam to get fairly wound up. So we're looking forward to that for the rest of the show. We are joined, as normal, with Chiz and Sam. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm
enjoying Sam's head at crotch height.
I am on the comfiest chair ever. Beanbag is the way to go.
Well, you see, we normally have a fight. I don't know if we've ever spoke about this in the show
I've never fought for it.
Well, we've had a disagreement, but we've never spoke about it in the show before.
I've just accepted that Chiz is selfish, and I am a giver.
So... So we have two comfy chairs in the in Gamer Towers, and one less than comfy chair. And Sam normally gets left with the less than comfy chair.
When you say less than comfy, I think it was invented by the Chinese to go along with water torture.
Right, okay. So
to be fair, he has more natural cushion.
So we've...
perpetuating this... myth that I'm actually massively obese.
We had to wheelbarrow you in. Shut up.
I had to get a bigger window put on the outside of Gamer Show Towers.
That forklift wasn't cheap.
Babe, can you pull my moo-moo down? My knees are showing.
What you also miss is Steve is having a sausage roll and Sam is catching the crumbs.
I'm keeping them between my folds for later.
So we probably should introduce the other people that are being talked about. So to make his second appearance on the Gamer Show, Mr. Bede is back with us.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I turned up, you've given me a mic that weighs 400 pounds, creeps away from me over the course of the conversation.
Ah, the old trusty
it's
mic.
It's dropped a good 10 centimetres.
After that, I got relegated to a seat made out of what I can only assume is knives.
That's my seat.
And then told to share everything that I have with a total stranger.
Have you two not met?
So
Steve, Bede, Steve.
While we're discussing a total stranger... Steve, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, yeah.
We're going to have to fix that microphone. Sorry, both of them are currently bent over, speaking at this microphone that's slowly disappearing down
the
floor.
It's fine for Bede, because Bede's only 3 foot tall, but Steve's quite tall.
So this is your first visit to Gamer Show Towers?
It is, I can feel a no-win-no-fee coming on. I'm just getting a bit sore.
So he shared a microphone with Bede because the microphone that we originally set up to work with him was working, I assure you, when I set it up earlier, but when we all sat down, it stopped working. And finally, to make his annual appearance on the E3 special is Russell.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
You're safely contained away from all the nonsense here over a Skype line.
He's gone right fuzzy.
It has a bit.
The connection's dropped a bit on Baghdad broadband.
Yeah, is somebody like using Netflix or something in your house?
No. No. All right. Well, there might be, I don't know.
You're fine.
It's not any film streaming or anything like that.
Ah, right, okay. So this is your second appearance on the Gamer Show, and it appears that we're just going to have to roll you in for...
Third.
Is it your third? Has he really been here before?
I think he's done three, is it not?
Well, of course he was in the quiz.
Although technically, he didn't really turn up for that.
Oh, that's true.
Russell
and in fact left halfway through and then came back again.
Yeah, that is true.
Russell so looks quite handsome when he's sort of pixelated. And difficult to see.
He suits massive square for eyes.
So, to sum up then, you only really appear on the Gamer Show specials. You're not really interested in all that midweek nonsense.
Yeah, no. Not really.
Okay, cool. Grant, okay, well, before we push on, we've got a couple of messages to...
You're listening the wrong one. It's one at the actual joint.
Yeah, so they're trying to fix the mic while I go through the reviews and feedback. So,
and I can see it's now visibly sinking. Yeah. It's like the Titanic. Oh no, something really shoddy.
Put in a box.
Give it a top box.
We're trying some severely high-tech methods here to try and fix the the microphone by sticking a box underneath
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good thinking.
See, I think
this
I think
man
Steve
is a bloody genius.
yeah, you definitely watched Blue Peter in your
quick,
days.
Quick, get the blue tack and sell it.
Right, okay. I've got the funny feeling this show is really going to be like a runaway train. I'm going to spend the whole show trying to catch
Come
us
on,
all up.
Come on, so, Paul, keep us all in order.
Right, so we have a review from Dodster123 in iTunes. It was a 5-star review, and the title is A Diamond in the Rough. And the review is, it's not very often that I find a podcast quite like the British Tech Network's Gamer. I was thinking this was going to be a negative review, but no. I'm new to the pod currently, but it keeps getting better and better. Even the episode titled Worst Episode Ever was quite frankly hilarious. Keep it up, guys. To quote a famous fast food chain, I'm loving it. And smiley face. Well, thank you very much, Dodster123. That was very kind of you.
Mr. Chisholm put an addendum on that.
Yeah, it's just put on. This is probably the only time I would accept a reference to McDonald's.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice review.
Yes, it is.
I don't have anything bad to say about that
no,
at all.
It really very
it's unusual.
Kind of you. Yes, so thank you very much, Dodster123.
That's a good show. Well,
if McDonald's are willing to sponsor us and give us decent microphones,
that is a decent microphone you're on.
I like how he's in here first show and he's already trying to get his stuff. I'm including himself in that as well.
He's brought a bag, but it's totally empty. He's leaving with stuff.
The sponsors will replace this, Paul. Don't worry. I'll take your Mac.
It's a smashing Mac. Well, thank you.
We also, on Twitter and Google Plus, we have some commentary. Carl Madden on Google Plus has just been talking about. It was in a post about the Xbox One. So he says, I'm personally disappointed with the Xbox One, which I never thought it would be the case. I was first day buyer for the original Xbox and then the 360. I even stuck with the 360 after numerous RRODs, that's Red Ring of Death issues. I know we have only seen the media side of things. So this comment was obviously before E3 so far. But as a Brit, I know I won't get about 60% of the features touted in the first keynote. If the games don't blow me away, then when they are shown, I don't think I'll be rushing out to add a one to my ever-growing nest of black boxes. Also, alas, the PlayStation platform has never interested me for some reason, so I won't be going PS4 either. Okay, maybe I'm getting old, he says. I have to admit, I hear a lot of what Carl's saying.
It's a bit lackluster at the moment.
It is a bit. But we'll get in that in a little bit more meat in the show. And finally, we've got a comment on Twitter. So this is Ed Marshall, our regular Twitterer to us. He didn't actually ask for this to be read out in the show. He didn't say we weren't to, but I thought it was quite funny. And he just tweeted me yesterday and said, that awful moment when your wife finds your pre-order receipts for Xbox One and PS4 and goes, mental, oops, very cross. I will bleep that out. Okay.
So. And I'm assuming that when people hear that, they'll realise she bleeped it, Paul.
Yeah, that is true.
But Paul bleeped that bit.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He
so
said,
I do believe that he's bleeped as well.
Yeah. Oh, he's bleeped that bit as well.
Yeah. So
maybe
anyway.
I should say it again.
Oh, no. Right, okay. So, thank you very much for all your feedback. And please do jump on our Google Plus community. Tweet us, we'll give our Twitter addresses at the end, and also on our Facebook account. Oh, actually, we should mention before we get in the meat of the show, what is our biscuits today, Sam?
Amy found these. These are actually marvellous. They are, I feel annoyed about saying a company's name, but Maryland Snapjacks, and they are honeycomb flavour snap biscuits.
Wow.
They're actually lovely, and they're dirt cheap.
You know what I like about having like so many people on the panel? Is that we might actually get an opportunity to finish an entire biscuit while other people are talking.
Ooh.
that would rely on Sam actually getting the biscuits out. Yeah.
And or we'll allowing feel, anyone else to have one. Yeah,
crack on, and we'll crack feel less fat sharing them out between five people rather than three of us.
Yeah, well, at Christmas time, did we not nail like four packets of crisps
yeah,
during the
much,
gamer
yeah.
show? The quiz.
Did Chris not nail like 15 beers?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true. Anyway, we are digressing and we are almost 10 minutes into the show and we have not got to any meat of the show.
Yay!
So, yes.
We'll just cut the bit when Bede talks, it's fine.
We have said nothing of value, so that's okay.
So we're going to just start
the
show.
I've listened to the show before.
We're going to start the show before pushing too deep into the E3 stuff.
Oh, come on.
Xbox One, so Microsoft came out and tried to clarify the no fee for used game license transfers just a few days before E3. So basically, a chap from E3 came out. A chap from Microsoft came out. I thought I'd taken a note of his name. I obviously haven't. No, I haven't. Clarified that it will be up to the third parties, apparently, if there is any charge for pre-owned games. I don't know. What do you feel about that?
I think it's a total lack of clarification. They still haven't said anything that actually means
anything. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they've kind of come out, and most of the news sites are saying clarification, but...
Yeah, they've clarified a bit more, but it's still hazy, and I think it's one of the things you won't actually know how it'll properly work until you bloody have one.
I think it's a bit kind of like, just to clarify, we want you to be confused at this point.
They're saying they won't charge for the first party games that Microsoft developed. This is they're not going to have a fee for that, but there's an option there for third parties to do that. Basically, the same, like it's the same with the PS4 as well, where it's Sony says they won't charge either, but they won't stop. It's publishers charging for what they're doing just now for, say, if you buy a pre-owned game, but there's a fee to play it online, which happens at the moment, but they're saying that could still happen. So in the PS4, that could continue over. And it'd be much something the same for Xbox One, although to a more extent because of how the games work on that, because you need to, for the whole thing of saving the actual games to your hard drives, you don't need the disc, you need a way to lock that to your account, which then that's where this whole... DRM things where it's checking every 24 hours. It seems to happen. So it's because they've went for that feature, that's why a lot of folk are finding it annoying, and it's still complicated how it works. Can you lend to about its 10 family members, can use a game as much as you want, but not at the same time. You can gift the game to a friend, but only if they've been on your friend's account for at least 30 days.
Well, you can trade it to them. It doesn't have to be a gift.
But you can only trade it once.
Yeah, you can only trade it once. Yeah. I'm kind of okay with that. I can't think of a scenario where I would learn a game twice to somebody.
They're calling it gift rather than trade.
But no. To me, though, that means that I bought this game and I'm going to gift it to B because I've completed it. And B's got it and he's playing through. Can he then gift it to someone after that? Is it dead at that point?
I'm
going to do something that I don't normally do, which is say something wild and possibly completely inaccurate, but I just really feel like they're stealing. I bought something, it's mine, and I can do what I want with it, and then they've kind of nicked it from me, and I don't have the rights of ownership that I should have. They're just like, no, it's mine. I'll do whatever.
It's like they're forcing it too early. It's basically going the way of PC gaming and Steam, but it feels like they've pushed it too early. It's like we're not there yet for this sort of stuff.
We did this on the last one anyway.
It's not very environmentally
friggin'
friendly.
Coaster.
I'm trying to loosen the noise of banging when you're... Sorry, Steve, please.
It's not very good for the environment, though. You're going to have, like, millions of these games lying around that you can't do anything with.
Yeah.
They've been passed on, like, once already.
Yeah, I think so. The Ubisoft... I forgot the guy's name now. What are you doing?
I've lost a bit of biscuit in my fold. I don't know where it's gone.
The Ubisoft CEO weighed in during E3 on the pre-owned thing, he kind of went on both sides of it. So he said he believed it was a good thing for being able to sell, for able to sell and buy pre-owned games because it means that gamers can experience more and can be more risky with unknown titles. So, you know, there's maybe a risk that your normal gamer would not take a punt at a game because they'd never heard of the IP before, and they might just stay to Battlefield or the Call of Duty franchise because they don't want to take that punt at £30 a game for a name that they've never heard before.
Yeah,
right.
Which is a fair point.
Is it?
I think it is because if you kind of, I don't know, maybe if you're in a situation where you maybe only bought one or two games a year and you're quite happy with the whole Call of Duty franchise and you saw this game, you kind of were interested in it. If pre-owned was an option, you might buy it and think, right, I can punt this back in a couple of days and maybe only lose £5-10
in it. Yeah. Okay.
I know loads of folk on our friend list where basically the only games they buy every year is Call of Duty and FIFA. That's it. That's all they buy. Maybe... It's PGA as well.
Yeah.
That's all they buy every year.
The thing is, I can sympathise with that point. It's like Diablo 3. It's been such a long time since the last one came out that I really don't know whether I'm going to enjoy it or not going back to it.
Mm.
It won't go down in price, and I'm not paying £35 for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting zero from me when they might well have got 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true, very true. So he did also go on to say that he likes the Steam model, but thinks that'll be harder for consoles as they already have a kind of box market or a IRL market or something. Anyway, so that's the update on the pre-owned saga. I'm sure we will talk about it again in 2 weeks, but that's where we are just now. So let's push on into E3. The Xbox One, we'll start with that. So some of the main highlights, just to cover them off, it will be available November 2013 at a price tag of a massive £429. If you're a pre-order person, you will be able to get a limited edition commemorative Xbox One bundle for just pre-order participating resellers, which will come in premium black packaging and offer a limited edition Xbox One Day... Day
launch day sort of thing it's got written on it. It's basically what I've seen of it is just the controller has a Xbox One Day One sort of
tag, so it's a special controller. Yeah, you also get an achievement.
All right.
So you'll be doing it.
No, I'm not buying the Xbox One on launch.
Are you not? No, not even for the achievement. Is that not even the carrot for you to to pull the trigger?
I don't want to. Like the whole thing where you get achievements from watching TV. I want achievements playing games, not that.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
But,
Russell looks human again.
yeah, your broadband's obviously fired back up.
That's quite a good idea, though. Achievements for if you watch The Voice, you could get like one episode. You watch 1,000 points just for watching one episode. Like you made it to the end.
I suppose it is an achievement to go there without suffering a head injury.
Do you want people to see your achievements though that you've been watching The Voice?
Fair point.
Yeah, because I've deleted games from my account. I got no achievements for, and there's some games I got learned and it was awful, and I was embarrassed playing them. I actually deleted it from my thing so no one can see I actually played those games.
How many people do you think are raking through your profile to check what achievements you've got?
You.
he's just used to deleting history on things because otherwise they'll see his bestiality porn.
I've moved on since then. Extreme.
So some games were also announced, and just to get this out of the way, there is obviously a new Halo, Halo 5, it's Halo 5, but it's actually just called Halo, isn't it?
It's basically just been a CGI trailer saying, the game's coming.
Bye. Yeah, but they did talk about it's going to be enhanced by cloud computing, which sort of worries me.
Yeah,
because that assumes that you're on a decent broadband connection.
It depends. In what way it is, if it's just what sort of data it's getting from the cloud, if it's just small bits of data that improves it, then fair enough. But because the whole thing with Forza 5 with their drive avatar sounds quite cool, and I don't think that'll be massive data getting transferred. There'll just be, I hope not, but I don't know.
Apparently one of the big things about it was it's going to run at 60 frames per second. Now I don't understand much about this thing. Is that what The Hobbit was done in? That was the whole thing about The Hobbit.
What?
You know, the whole thing about the video in The Hobbit was different.
Was it? I didn't know anything about that.
You had to watch it in certain senses.
Yeah, but it's from movies to games, it's different. Because obviously the higher frame rate, the smoother the game is and the better it is. Because it's most games this generation have run at 30 frames per second.
Right.
Although you've got games like Call of Duty that run at 60 frames per second, and that's how it's done so well because it's such a quick sort of game to use. Mm-hmm. But basically it's usually been the better the graphics, the more of the hardware it gets used for the graphics, the slower the frame rate is.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the consoles are so powerful, you can now get 1080p and 60 frames per second, which just means the game's a lot smoother. So the higher frame rate, the better it is.
Okay, fair enough. But there's not really much more to say about Halo 5. I mean, I think we all kind of expected that coming.
Yeah, that's
it's not a launch title, though, is it?
No.
You got that far in the notes, then. Well done, Russ.
He was reading them while we were setting up.
Another game that they've announced is Dead Rising 3, which will be an Xbox exclusive. I mean, Halo 3 is going to be sort of Halo 5 is going to be an Xbox exclusive.
Has anyone here played any of the Dead Rising?
Yeah. I played the first one. The first one was quite good.
The first one was good, but it had annoying. It had one stupid feature where basically you had a time scale of completing the game, and it's one of those games where the whole point is to have fun and basically dick about and mess with the zombies, but it says you must do it in 2 hours or it's game over.
Yeah.
And you have to start, and you had one save point, so you start from start again, and that's when it's an infuriating stupid
game. They did that with
mechanic.
The original Fallout. You had like 2 months to go off and find whatever you needed to find, the water chip. And then if you didn't, you were out there, you were doing awesome, you're like, I'm really enjoying this. No, it's done now. You're dead. Everyone
I've
died.
I've never encountered a game where it works. I don't want to have to be worrying about exploring and finding features are going to cost me the time.
At the same time, though, there are some games whereby they're going, the end of the world is nigh. But you take your time, lad. You just go on, head off, go on a shopping trip. Yeah. It's not going to happen until you get here. So
it's like you've got like a NPC character bleeding to death. Oh, if you can go and quickly get me that Medipack, and then you just bugger off and go and like go to the other town, and you come back, he's still suffering on. I've got a centimetre of blood in a jar left. Can you hurry up?
I'll get there.
Yeah,
I'll get there. Here, have a biscuit while I'm here.
Take your time. But for a game for Dead Rising, where the whole point was to wear ridiculous masks and put cones on zombies' heads so they stumbled about and just it was such a fun game. But then it's a typical Japanese thing to do. Yes, but now you have to do this. That's my Japanese accent.
It's very similar to every other foreign accent.
It is my generic foreign accent. then I think since Dead Rising 2, it's still made by Capcom, but it's now an American team, and they've still got that feature in, but it's part of the harder setting. You can choose to have that if you want it, but now, and it's the same for Dead Rising 3, so it's not a time scale. But if you want to play in the hardest setting, like it's Nightmare setting, then that time scale comes back in, but it's optional, which is fair enough. So if you did enjoy it, who fucking weirdos, there it is for you. But I think Dead Rising 3 looks quite fun.
It does. Apparently, there's going to be hundreds of weapons. You're going to be able to command vehicles in a kind of a GTA style. You can call in airstrikes with smart glass, which... Yeah,
if you've got a friend who's got smart glass, they can bomb the crap out of areas for you and whatnot.
There's also going to be an immersive Xbox smart glass and Kinect integration, which just worries me due to the fact the only game that I've ever played that quote-unquote has immersive Kinect stuff was that Mech Commander that I played a few months back.
I'm hoping the new Kinect, because the new Kinect looks much more impressive. I'm hoping to see better stuff with it. At the moment, it all seems... They've showed off the new fans Kinect, but there's not any games that have utilised it at all. It's just been the voice commands, which isn't a bad thing. Cause
I've never used it, ever.
If I've asked, I don't have one, Paul's the one that's got it, and he's not used it for Skyrim, which I keep telling him to do.
Yeah, I should actually try that. So that looks quite interesting.
I've used the current Kinect for a few things, and it's actually pretty good since they've updated it.
Right, okay.
So I'm quite interested in what the new one does.
Yeah, and you can read see your fingers and stuff and whatnot, so it should be a lot
more. Yeah, because it can analyse a lot. And the point one of the articles were making that because it's basically compulsory, it comes with every Xbox, more developers are actually use it and actually do things with it rather than it just being a side thing for kind of family gaming.
Because that was from before, like when a developer thought, oh, I've got a really cool idea to use Kinect, they have to measure up, is it worth the time and money to make it for a tiny user base?
Yeah, yeah.
We, at least now with Xbox One, they know everyone has one.
Yeah, it's just there. Yeah.
Some other things that have been released, Killer Instinct, or announced, I should say, Killer Instinct, the original classic fighter that I think last time made an appearance was in the N64 in 96, is coming to the Xbox One. This was sort of meh for me.
It doesn't totally interest. I thought it was quite cool because there's, from what I've read online, there's quite a lot of people who've wanted this for years because they're massive fans of obviously. It's like a cult classic.
I saw it, but
I used to play that game quite a lot. It was the most frustrating beat 'em up ever because it's all about these massive combos. So you're having to memorise like 30 different direction buttons.
Oh, but there was a big group of people. In fact, Chris Cameron, I think, is very keen on that kind of stuff. But there was a big group of kind of gamers who were obsessed with combos.
Yeah, well, it's where the meme "it's Combo Breaker" comes from as well. I don't know if you've heard about it.
No, I've not actually.
Oh, well, here we go.
Right, okay. I don't know. I kind of feel that the day of the flat two people facing off against each other fighting game is sort of past.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
You think, but Street Fighter 4, when it came back, it was much as 3D, but it's still sort of flat, and it's still sold bucket loads. So there's still a fan base out there for it. And I think it's Mortal Kombat has tried to change it a bit, but it's still not worked when you try and involve the VR environment more, but they've still not quite nailed.
Bye, Russell.
They've not nailed having all the expertise and the combos that Street Fighter has, but with a more 3D environment.
Right, okay.
It seems that they've not nailed how to do that yet.
See, what I'm worried about is that these games have just meant that you no longer can win by just bashing one button repeatedly.
That's why a lot of people say that's a good thing.
No, it's a bad thing for me. That's the only way I used to win.
You should leg sweep. That's what you're the one that's leg sweep, leg sweep, leg sweep.
So Killer Instinct. Also Titanfall. which is an Xbox exclusive. This is EA. The game is entirely multiplayer and a new experience that combines fast-paced multiplayer action with a heroic set-piece moments traditionally found in campaign mode. Set in a distant frontier torn apart by war, players will have the freedom to switch between fighting and elite assault pilots or agile, heavy-armoured, 20-foot-tall titans.
I miss this one.
Actually, it's from Respawn, who were the guys who basically started Call of Duty from the start. They left after, I think it was Modern Warfare 2, and formed their own team because they fell out with Activision. EA bought them, and now this is their new game, and it does look quite... The mechs remind me of the mechs from Avatar, the way they move.
All right, okay. This looks
quite
fluid.
I was actually quite surprised how fun the way the soldiers move reminds me of Call of Duty, but you've got a jetpack and your soldiers, you can jump off walls and whatnot. And it looked really, really
cool.
It's got a lot of potential to be very good. It's also got a lot of potential mindfalls as well.
Yeah. As in the sort of people that play it online.
Welcome back, Russell.
Sorry, my house can't function if a spider is located, so I had to go
deal with it. I was just thinking while you were gone there, I really want to see some like comical, like one of the children chasing you past the screen.
So did you do your usual and put it in the toilet and then drown it with pee?
Anyway.
Is that
he does
me?
That to his children.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
How many children has he got?
12 or something, hasn't it?
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
This looked awesome.
Is this the first Metal Gear game that's come out in the Xbox?
No.
I thought it was.
They repurposed it on the... It's the first one for the Xbox 360 and obviously the Xbox One, but they had one on the original Xbox, which was Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance, it was called, or something. Yeah.
So this did look quite good. Described as realistic espionage action in an open-world environment. That looks quite cool.
One of the Metal Gear Solid games is being described as realistic. I managed to say that really well with that biscuit in my mouth.
Yeah. No, it's from the trailer. Like, what I found quite funny from the trailer is it does look very impressive, but it's Hideo Kojima's got a way of saying, like, of announcing game features which had been done millions of times before, but making it go, I invented this, look. it's like an open sandbox world. Yeah. Real weather systems. Real time of day. Yeah, never done before that. but from what I've seen in the game, it's basically what I've always wanted from a stealth game, where you start and it's up to you how to infiltrate that base, which is another side of the map. You can get there any way you want.
Yeah.
You could wait to do it at night, during the day, be really stealthy or go guns blazing and whatnot, and then you have to go in and get out. And well, for some of the missions anyway, and I think it looks fantastic.
What does real-time weather mean? Does that mean that it's going to do the weather based on your location? Because that would suck.
rain. You might be in the jungle, but it's quite chilly.
Grey clouds again.
Because I was thinking, you maybe it's a rainy day, so you can't do anything else. So you decide to come in and play Metal Gear Solid,
four hours of daylight in
Metal Gear Solid as well.
What if you're playing it in Greenland or something like that, where it's just basically like
dark all the time?
It's like one day of sunshine every four months or something. Oh, great, another nighttime mission.
It did look quite interesting, though. So
I might not be correct with Greenland having that sort of thing, but...
Yeah. I think it's one hour. I don't think it's one day.
What? So they get 1 hour every 4 months, and then it goes back to darkness again.
We're drifting off into a world where none of us know anything about, but I think it's something like...
During the winter, it is dark.
Okay.
During the summer, it is light. That's how it works.
Okay, cool. Some other games that have been released. I'm not going to go into details about these because we are running low on time. But Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare for the Xbox One. Forza 5, Crimson Dragon, Witcher 3, which we talked about in the last show, and a voice-controlled world-building game called Project Spark, which just kind of sounds like the Kinect version of Minecraft.
Voice control. No. So you just go, break, over there. No, over there. Over there.
Of Little Big Planet, I would say, more than Minecraft.
All right, okay. I was thinking about a Minecraft type of
game. Because you can actually, in Minecraft, you're limited to having one type of game, unless you can make a side-scroller, a first-person shooter, sort of R-type game, Space Invaders, a racing game. And from what I've seen of it, it looks really cool, because you can use... obviously it uses Kinect, your controller, to make the worlds, but you can also use smart glass, so you can actually use the tablet to change the world, actually getting your fingers on, which actually sounds better. Quite than cool. Actually mm-hmm. moving things about. So it does. I thought it was very, very impressive.
Russell, what were you going to say there?
Yeah, I know you're wanting to sort of crack on with the rest of the show and stuff, but that Forza 5, Chiz mentioned the Drivatar thing earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
And given sort of racing games are my thing, that sounded quite interesting in the fact that if you play online against your mates, it remembers how they race and then uses them in the one player, so it's not a sort of generic racing line that the one player uses.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite a good addition that no other racing game's done.
Yeah. Well, yes and no.
It grabs other people's drivatars as well, so no, it's a good thing because the AI in Forza and Gran Turismo Rebel are born and drive in straight lines.
Yeah, but I can beat them.
Is anyone irritated by the term drivatar?
Yeah.
Every time it's said, I just get this little twinge in my shoulder.
Yeah.
So, but the problem I would have with that
sounds good, though.
Is that I can beat the computer AI. That's fine. I can't beat you. So
find a bunch of people that are crap at it and then play them.
See,
then
my problem
is
if I get this game and I play with like you and Russell and Chiz the first time, I'm never going to be able to play that game again because it's got the AIs. They're going to learn you guys, and I'm like, oh well, I might as well just sell this now. But I can't because I can't sell the damn Xbox One games.
And I would counter that with I don't give a tiny rat's ass.
And the final thing from Xbox, which just blew my mind when I saw this. Apparently, they've released a new version of the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
It's smaller, sleeker, and quiet as ever, and is available today. I looked on Amazon in the UK. There's no sign of it. They still have the old Xbox for $189. That was this morning I checked, so it's clearly not there. But apparently it was shipping today in retailers across the US, UK, Canada, Australia, and Ireland. And that would have been today based on last Monday was when it was announced, wasn't it? So it's a week ago.
It's just poor and pointless. And why?
Well, the reason is because they wanted it to look similar to the new Xbox One because of the new design aesthetic. I'm sure there's other reasons, but that's one of the main ones that they...
Why?
Another thing to mention is they also announced during the same keynote that Xbox Live Gold membership will offer a fresh and exciting new thing to subscribers. Every Xbox Live Gold member will receive 2 free Xbox 360 game downloads per month, starting on July the 1st until December the 31st, including popular titles such as Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2.
And we've already got Fable 3 for free.
Yeah, that's currently on this month. I've not tried it yet because I...
It works.
Right, I have Fable 3, so I don't
know. I haven't done it. I should probably.
It's me and Steve
it.
Have downloaded it. So.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, right, okay. Was it quite an easy process? You just went on and downloaded it? And
it was quite funny. My brother telephoned me and said, hey, you get this Fable 3 free online. It's like, cool. He was downloading it. He was like 40% in, so he's got really crap broadband, so. I downloaded it in 5 minutes and he was still downloading it when I was about in it in the second mission.
Yeah, but you've got
you're
fiber.
You're in Gala, aren't you? You have super swanky.
You've got fiber in Gala.
You're like 2 yards away from exchanging Gala as well, you know.
Everyone here wants to put nails in.
I have never sat in a room where people have been jealous of someone living in Gala before.
That's very true, yeah.
B lives in Edinburgh and his broadband's bald.
We want your broadband connection, but we don't like the people.
So, that's everything for the Xbox announcement?
No, it's not. There's one exclusive that Sam really liked.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, I've forgotten.
Rise.
Oh, yeah, Rise. Rise looked awesome.
Okay.
It was Rise, Warrior of Rome, is that right?
Son of Rome.
Son of Rome. Bede and I were watching it as well earlier on. It just looked really cool. Take the command of like a Roman, he's supposed to be a general or something, it was silly, but the video is like a beach landing and you're charging up, kind of Normandy style, but with Roman warriors, and charging up the beach and you get attacked by barbarians and stuff, and the cinematics were really cool. It was all in game. There was
I think
there were triremes. Getting blasted by kind of fiery catapult rocks or whatever.
Those graphics looked fantastic. Yeah, they looked
awesome. The combat looked quite funky. We were a bit worried about a kind of quick time-y looking event in it, but apparently they're optional finishing moves that you don't have to use if you want it to go more smoothly. What I found most interesting was that a little bit further on... once you kind of cleared the landing stage, you brought in soldiers and created a squad and marched forward, and they were pelted with arrows at one point and formed
Testudo.
Testudo. which is the tortoise thing where they all lock their shields together, and you cover that, and then they shuffled a bit further on, cover themselves again for another hail of arrows, and then all lobbed your peel them
spears, just spears.
Yeah, javelins, really.
Beed is a human encyclopedia of all Roman warfare.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it did actually look really fun.
I've heard
just
the combat
really
in
enjoyable.
The demo showed what I heard is a bit basic, but there's still time for it to well.
Yeah.
It's a very start game, maybe. What I'd add on this one is it looked really good in that one scene. If that's all they do for the entire game,
yeah.
I don't think it would be that interesting.
Yeah.
Presumably there'll be a plot.
There'll probably be a little bit more game
but really
than just that.
Them bringing in the squad combat
for
proper units. That was new.
We should remain optimistic until we see more.
Absolutely.
Before we move on to the next one, can I just quickly mention that they I particularly like the E3 EA really making an effort to get people not to hate them. That was what they were putting up online. They were like, we're really trying to get people not to despise us. if we're on fire, please wee on us. carry on. Okay. I just really enjoyed that.
Okay, so the PS4 announcement. The headline things are £349. Which is interesting. Now, remember that the Xbox was £429.
Saving of £80 there. £80 difference.
Indeed.
Which
That's some quick maths there, Grant.
Yeah. I'd work
He's
it
got
beforehand.
It written on his hand.
On paper and what it sounds like, the PS4 is the slightly more powerful machine. It's got faster RAM, and I think what I've heard as well, the graphics card in it is slightly better as well.
Yeah.
Whether or not you'll see much difference, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But I think one of the major things why it's different price is because you don't get the PlayStation Eye with it. It's just a console and a controller and the cables. And I think it's the price of how fancy the new Kinect is why the Xbox One's more expensive.
It's jumping up a little bit.
Yeah.
Apparently the PS4 will still have an upgradable and swappable hard drive, same as PS3. It's going to be region free. There's no 100% confirmations on exactly when it's going to arrive. They've just said holiday.
I like it's going to be regional free.
Because all the moving about the planet that you do.
No. It means that, like, if there's a mental Japanese game that you really fancy, for instance, Bastion 3, that I want to play, you should beat that one. But that's a legitimate game.
Although it is actually illegal in this country.
Is it actually illegal?
That game, it's illegal.
Is it actually illegal? Wow. I did not know that.
I have to say, I'm not too keen on the design, though. I prefer the Xbox Ones.
Like Battlefield 3.
Yeah, it's
the game. Sorry, Battlefield 3, the game.
What were Battlefield 1 and 2 like?
No one knows.
Stop saying the name of that game.
We're not sure that they were created.
Was it even Battlefield 3? I thought it was Battlefield I thought it was just Battlefield 2 that we've seen.
I don't know.
That's going to be a pain in this. Right,
I was
okay, I'm going to
new one for the new.
I wonder what sort of new features they'll have in Battlefield 3.
Sorry, before Paul goes absolutely mental, I'd like to say that the Gamer Show does not endorse battles.
Women's rights groups are going to kill us.
So what is everyone's thoughts on the look of both consoles?
I prefer the Xbox One. It's just something I like about it a little bit more.
The X1's grown on me more. At first I was kind of in about it, but I actually don't mind the look of it, even though it's maybe a wee bit bulky. The PS4 is surprisingly small. But I don't know if I like the aesthetics of it.
But I don't either.
At the end of the day, I don't think it doesn't bother me that much, and it'll sit out of sight when I'm using
it. It's a box. You're not going to look at
exactly,
it. Who cares?
Exactly.
Why does it even need to be a box? I was like, just make a Hello Kitty
trampoline
shaped or something.
In the shape of a hammock.
Or because it doesn't line up right. So, like, you know the boxy box that came out that was like a... It was like a cube, but sat on its end, and then like about a third of it was submerged. You couldn't pile that up on your entertainment unit. That kind
of. What do you mean a third of it was submerged?
It
just kind of looked. Well, it wasn't, but it
looked like a box on its side, but was in the ground because it was flat.
You had to like keep it with a paddling pool. I don't really understand where you were going.
Anyway. So PS4. There was a lot less, I thought. There was a lot less meat in a lot of the demos and stuff like that.
Their conference was too much talk of like and backslapping. Like, yeah, we're Sony, we're doing this, blah, blah. And like they loved to sound their own voice too much, and there wasn't enough games. Mm. I liked their love for like it was indie games.
Yeah, you can, yeah, they did a lot of that.
You can self-publish, which Microsoft need to do to compete there because Sony are doing a brilliant thing there, and like obviously everyone who making their own games indie are loving them right now for it.
Yep.
And hating Microsoft.
They've been done quite well anyway.
Yeah. And but actually getting them on stage for the first time, because there was I think because they showed a reel of random games, and there was one guy who basically who made a game himself. He didn't realize his game was going to be on the big screen there, and until he saw it, and he was like, huh. So he obviously thought that was quite a cool moment. Yeah. His game being unknown to anyone, and Sony actually showing it off.
That's pretty awesome.
And but the thing is, what I found was Sony just basically all they had to do was not be to win, and that's all they do. Like that. It was the console was cheaper. They showed some games I thought Microsoft showed was better for games, and I actually had more interest in what they showed for games, although there's still some pretty decent games that Sony showed as well. But they drew it too long, and then it wasn't until the end when it got good, when they said, this is the console, this is what it's going to be priced at, and yeah, we're
awesome.
Yeah,
and yeah!
We're going to lube you before we...
I have to say, of all the games that I saw, the ones that I liked the most, the majority of them were on PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah, it was the same. Did you see, and I thought it was a game you would like, Sam, The Order 1886?
Being that I actually put a thing up on the notes there.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Sam's favourite games.
Yeah.
Order 1886 looks pretty awesome. Mm. I mean, it's in-game footage, but it's obviously a cutscene. Yeah. Yeah. You haven't seen anything about it.
Only thing
but the premise... Yeah,
I like the idea and the premise and the setting and whatnot, but the only thing I didn't like was the weapons. I thought, it's going to be a shooter with futuristic, sort of steampunkish sort of weapons, and I thought, I would like to have seen a bit, I don't know, I'll have to wait until I actually see the proper game, but I didn't like the idea of the weapons in it.
So the Order...
That's just me, though.
Okay.
The Order 1886 is, I think it's going to be a shooter that mixes Victorian London with modern tech and mythical monsters.
It's steampunk.
Yeah.
It's cashing in on the steampunk cow.
Yeah.
But, like, Tesla is like a big steampunk thing. So the lightning gun, that's always going to be in it. And steampunky pistols and shotguns is
pretty much
what they did.
A co-op game as well. It looks like with the multiple characters. But,
yep. I've got high hopes for it. But.
Because we don't actually know if it's third or first person or anything.
No. Yeah. No, you don't know anything about it. We've just seen a little clip. Yeah.
They also rolled out the Killzone.
Killzone Shadowfall.
Yeah, I got quite excited about the original Killzone in PS3.
It was graphically fantastic at the time.
And then kind of got bored of it.
Yeah, it's like...
Was Killzone? Was that the one where they gave you all the
Hell
drugs?
And, no, that was Killzone.
No.
All right, I get mixed up between those two.
from what I've seen of it, it looks more. There's more to it than the past games, or it's still not really piquing my interest that much. But
yeah,
some of the games I'm going to wait to reviews to actually see if it is actually an improvement over the past ones, because I enjoyed it was Killzone 2, and I never got into playing it was Killzone 3. But what was good about it was Killzone 2 was there was a bit of skill to using the weapons. I actually felt like I had a bit of weight to it, which I liked.
Yeah,
and playing online was fun, but the actual Singapore campaign was. By the numbers sort of story, which was pretty dull, predictable, and meh.
Was that game like Gears of War?
No. It was a first person shooter.
I remember the first time I ever seen it, actually, was just when you got your surround sound in your flat.
Yeah.
And it was really impressive with the surround sound.
Yeah.
It was a really good game. A really impressive game with the surround sound. The next Final Fantasy, if I've got my Roman numerals correct, it's Final Fantasy 15.
I think so, yeah.
Beat XV.
XV.
XV, yeah.
Yeah. Just confirm that there. We already saw a clip of that at the last E3, didn't we?
That was the game engine they were showing off, but it wasn't actually the game. It was like
was that not in game? I thought that was in game.
They were showing off their engine, but I think it was like a made up sort of. It might have been game, but we all thought, oh, is this going to be the new Final Fantasy? But they were just showing off a Final Fantasy esque thing just to show off their new engine.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Okay.
But it looks like when I first saw it, I went, I've not been in. Got bored of Final Fantasy since Final Fantasy 8. I played various others, what other ones, but it's the same story where you're stuck playing a whiny, girly-looking kid. And
there is no actual story to that.
No, it's just whiny kid who moans. You have to play as going through the game, beating up scantily clad women, and yeah. So
Saturday night,
and, but. I know, why play a game? So this week's more about it. This does look a bit better, even though it has still got the soppy-haired annoying hipsters that you have to play as. But the action and the graphics looked much better than the past Final Fantasy. Well, it looks like the combat looks like it's proper combat rather than a turn-based thing, which is not necessarily anything wrong with that, but it's evolved.
You summed them all up very well in a review of a game.
Yes. I am sad.
In a review of a game that you were on about a few weeks ago, like you play the character, you were talking to an old man who was dying, and you were just like, yeah, he's going to tell me a secret about my family. Oh, he told me a secret about my family. I'm super special. Oh, I saved the world. It's done.
Yeah. They don't do, like, even in what I found with the Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer, because it's Japanese, and Hideo Kojima, they don't do it's
subtlety.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. It's in your face. It's like they've got a message, and rather trying to play it out in a Western sort of proper manner, where you actually it's got a story behind it.
In a stiff upper lip, emotionally repressed manner.
Exactly. That's how you do it.
How dare you express your emotion so blatantly, you hussy!
So that's be a message.
Back in the kitchen,
straight in your face. Take that.
It's the lack of context that gets me. Have conversations and it's like, hello, how are you doing? Your father is very important. I don't know. Yeah.
it's
and then I honour you.
And then, like, especially in Metal Gear Solid 4, I loved the first half of the game. The second half of the game was just cutscene after cutscene after cutscene. And it's like, oh, right, fair enough, you can tell a story. But they're like 10-minute long cutscenes where you only need 2 minutes to actually get your point across. But then it's about telling pointless and bad humour for ages.
Like really moody, kind of staring off into the distance with his hair, pink hair, waving in the wind or something random.
And you're still getting games like where basically games at point now need to grow up a bit. Where it's like they still, as much as I loved the trailer for it was Metal Gear Solid 5. It had a new character showing off a woman with a sniper rifle just wearing a bra, and I thought, yeah, well done.
Is that on my shopping list this week?
Elder Scrolls Online.
Sniper rifle and a bra for your girlfriend.
Elder Scrolls Online was announced that the game's beta will be exclusively available on PS4. Sam, you were quite interested in the Elder Scrolls Online coming, wasn't
you? No.
Oh, sorry. Were you moaning about it?
I was moaning about it. I remember you referring to it. I think they're going to take... It could be done really well, but I suspect that they're just going to mumba-porgig it. And I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I can't remember the letters.
spell it.
I can't remember.
MMORPG.
Well, that'll do. I just think it's going to end up being 10 boars and go off and fetch my letters and do this.
Search for 15 bushes for berries.
You're supposed to be the hero. You're supposed to be the chosen one. And, oh, look, there's loads of
you're chopping
the
wheat for a farmer.
Yeah. Yeah. Why am I doing this? Yeah. Why am I milking your cows? I have just killed a dragon.
Yeah. Me in my massive, special, expensive armor and you in your cloth. Yeah. And I'm working for you. Yeah. You're paying me.
I should own your town, little man.
So that's been announced. The next in the Batman series, Batman Arkham Origins. And I love this. That apparently the PlayStation 4 edition will feature exclusive costume DLC, including the 1960s...
PlayStation 3 edition.
PlayStation 3, sorry, edition. Will include the 1960s Adam West-style Batman costume.
Yes!
How desperate were they for exclusives when they're announcing crappy costume DLC on their conference for a game?
Yeah, that's true.
What is the point in that?
It is a bit poor, but...
It's terrible.
But I'm quite excited about that.
If each time you punch someone, it comes up with a big kapow on the screen, I'm having it.
Is it not different characters at different levels? So, like, Nightwing's in it as well.
Oh, right, okay.
And Catwoman, you can play as certain levels.
That was Arkham City.
Is that a different one?
Yeah. This is the new gamer so far. We don't know if Catwoman's in it or not and stuff like that.
You would assume that they'd do the same, though, because they did that thing with the second one, so you'd assume you'd have some of that content.
Well, for the first Batman, they had the Joker DLC. We could actually play as a Joker, and that was exclusive to the PS3, which we said it's actually playable levels with the Joker. I get maybe showing that off, but it's just costumes for Batman.
But it's the 1960s Adam West version.
They had that in Arkham City as well. You have to buy it. I'm not buying that. So
have they got Adam West voicing it?
That would be good.
That would be freaking awesome.
That would be enough reason to buy it.
as the mayor Adam West from Family Guy, just saying really random stuff. That would be amazing.
Always looking for taffy.
Some other games that were announced was Infamous Second Son.
Mm-hmm. That was only exclusive that caught my eye. Looked quite good. Although the past Infamous games I found got repetitive and boring after a while.
Yeah, it was the same. Yeah.
So, but this one hopefully will be much better.
Drive Club, Knack, were some other titles that were also announced.
I'm looking forward to
that one. Knack.
I saw a video for Knack. It looked pretty bad.
Cutting to the chase there, Steve.
When I said I was looking forward to that, I actually thought initially that Drive Club Knack was one thing, and the name of that made me excited.
Drive Club Knack.
Yeah, but right. It's not, so I'm not looking forward to it anymore.
And finally, on the PlayStation 4, there will be an official GTA 5 bundle that will come out with the PlayStation 4.
Help me out, what's a bundle?
No, that's
that'll be when you buy the console and then the
PlayStation
game comes with
3,
it.
Once again.
It said PS4 in the article I read.
No, it was a PS3. Okay. Grand Theft Auto is not yet announced for PlayStation 4. Or next
is that right?
Consoles. Nope.
Can I just note that, as Chiz said that, he put on a really smug face. Like a really, looked around the room and a really...
Through certain connections, I know something.
But do we have an exclusive?
No.
That we can't talk about?
No.
Right, Jesus, hang on. We actually looked like we knew stuff there. and almost kind of professional. And then you tore it away. Yeah.
I don't have permission to announce it.
Well, that's fair enough. Crack on.
This is easy. I know the plot to Halo 6.
Russell is coming in through Skype, and his wife has appeared in the background dealing with his underwear.
Yeah, put his pants on.
It's actually my daughter's clothes.
I was gonna say, that T-shirt is pretty small for Russell. Bye, Tia.
So, anyway, on to the EA announcement. Actually, we'll do the Nintendo announcements first, because we are, as I say, running short on time.
Well, what was Russell's thoughts on PS4 there?
Sorry, Russell?
Uh-huh.
What was your thoughts on the PS4, before we move on to Nintendo?
I didn't look much into the gaming, but I was looking quite a lot at the comparison, the controllers, if you were planning on doing that. But the controller, I understand, on the PS4 has got like a touchpad, your laptop.
Yes.
I just can't help but feel that's got the potential for being useless as a D-pad, as the Xbox 360 is, because it says if you swipe up and left and right. But you must have to be fairly exact, otherwise it'll get confused.
Yeah. I would wait and see. I mean, we can't really comment on it until it comes out, surely.
It depends how it's used, but unfortunately at E3 there was no games that utilised it, so everyone reported back saying... Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. And apparently,
it looks fairly similar to the 360 when you look at it side on, the ergonomically as they put it fitted to the hand.
Yeah,
I think that looks good because I was never a big fan of the DualShock.
No, it's a DualShock 3. It's not evolved much, but it's DualShock 4 looks much, much better.
Indeed. So, on to the Nintendo announcements.
That's it, you're done.
So
they didn't basically show up, although I suppose it's better than Ouya, who had something in the car park. which
I thought it was a jumble sale.
Basically,
just get
it was.
Rid of the old
there was a whole story there, because the organisers of E3 weren't happy about it and actually parked a lorry in front of them to hide them. So Ouya retaliated by putting on the other side of the lorry massive Ouya banner saying, "Round here."
So Nintendo didn't really rock up at all at E3, but they did release some content. And lo and behold, they have released the next titles in the Super Mario line, the Mario Kart line, the Zelda line, and the Donkey Kong line. What a shock.
Well, the only games that probably make me buy a Wii U at some point will be Mario Kart and Zelda, so the more I see of them, the better.
But they need to do something. I agree with you. I mean, I probably will buy those games because I quite like them, but... Mm. they've got to do something different. Just keeping on just trudging out the same old IP over and over again.
They don't, because the same old people keep buying the same old stuff.
But we're going to die eventually,
they don't have
Beat.
To make any
yeah. I don't know, like, I think the Wii U's got promise, but the problem is it's still got the same problem where there's not enough good third-party developers making good games for it. It's basically, they're still relying, it's Nintendo relying on their own internal games, and but unfortunately for them, they're not getting them out. Well, basically, it's been, what, how long has it been since their last proper sort of Wii U game? They're taking too long getting the games out. I suppose it's good that it's ready when it's ready, it's going to be good, but they're too spaced out.
Mm. Yeah. So Mario Kart 8, which looks interesting, Super Mario 3D, which is fine. Two Zelda games, The Legend of Zelda The Wind Walker, and Zelda Link to the Past 2. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which sort of seems a little bit of an oxymoron, but it's fine. Super Smash Brothers and Bayonetta 2. That's what they announced.
Yep.
Anybody want to say? I've kind of grouped all them together because I wasn't over. There wasn't really that much I wanted to talk about any of them.
The problem with the Zelda games are basically remakes of older Zeldas, because it's Wind Waker was on, what was that? Was that on the Wii or was that on the GameCube or something?
I want to say GameCube, but I don't know for definite.
That's basically just an HD remake of that for the Wii U, and Zelda Link to the Past is the original Zelda remade for the 3DS.
Yeah,
with new features and whatnot.
I mean, that I'm quite chuffed about that.
It's still quite cool, but I want a proper next gen Zelda for the Wii U.
Yeah. Did they not show stuff last, was it last E3?
Yeah, they showed off a demo of it fighting a spider or something like that, but that was just a demo where, but they said that it might not look anything like that, we just wanted to show off the graphics. Yeah.
Fair enough. So Nintendo didn't really show up at E3. So moving on.
They didn't have a conference, but they did have playable games and whatnot. And
yeah.
They just didn't have a conference this year.
So EA had a few things to shout about. One of the biggest things, so I'm going
to... It's not to hate them.
Not to hate them, exactly.
We don't charge for playing online anymore.
One big thing that they talked about, which I'm going to come to in a second. Do we have to bleep that word?
No. Come on, our user base, we know what it means.
Battlefield 4, which includes... game changer, which apparently a game changer called, and Sam's going to hate this word, Levolution. So,
is it Levolution?
Could be Levolution. Levolution probably makes more sense.
Either way, what does it mean?
So Levolution creates a dynamic and emergent battlefield where gamers can use the environment to their advantage, like cutting the power to a building to shroud their enemy in darkness or reducing an entire skyscraper to rubble to alter the battlefield. With Levolution, the environments react to the player... By the way, that bit there I just added in. That wasn't part of the quote. React to the player's every move and ensures no two games will ever be the same.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't think they need to give it a name.
Like, did anyone see the demo of it, though? Did you see the demo?
No.
I think this is quite a cool thing. I don't know if it necessarily needed to be called a feature in its own right. It's just part of playing the game. It's
just kind of destructible stuff.
It's not really sandbox gaming, though. It's kind of just... He's shooting someone in some little shop or something, and there's, like, hats lying around. You can't, like, stop shooting and try on the hats. that's what I want to do.
Do you mind? I'm trying to find a hat for this evening. Stop shooting at me.
In the middle of a war zone.
Now, where do I get a walking cane? But from the demo, it looked fantastic. Although, well, did anyone actually see the demo?
Yeah.
I thought you would have. You would have, Chris, because me and you played it's Battlefield 3 quite a lot.
Yeah, but I want to do it.
Basically, at one point in the demo, like there's like certain areas, like, part of the multiplayer, you have to capture a flag, as you do, and the flags.
Carefully doing the flag mime for everyone listening.
And
that's for Russell on Skype.
All right. The flag, Russell. Flag.
On one of the flags at the top of a skyscraper, so you and your squad, there's a company all getting an elevator right to the top. Well, you know, people are.
He's miming the whole thing. It's brilliant.
Well, you've not seen the demo, so I'm giving you a visual treat.
Okay.
So you get the top and then you capture the flag, but then there's tanks down the bottom. It's obviously staged for the E3 thing, but the tanks are actually blowing away the structures of the skyscraper. You're up, obviously, at the top of the skyscraper, which is quite tall. And then the skyscraper actually starts to get knocked down and you have to jump off before it collapses. And you jump off and you parachute and you see the whole skyscraper fall down.
It's lucky that they had parachutes.
Yeah. it's partly in Battlefield, everyone's got parachutes.
Have they?
Yeah, because you can jump.
They've also got dinghies in their feet.
Yeah.
What? Really?
In their feet?
Dinghies in their feet. In their shoes. Ah, so if they like different. Go in the water or something like that, you can.
Like two separate dinghies, because that's going to be awkward.
No, one.
Is that.
It's over 2 feet, and when they join together, they merge together.
No. Right.
Anyway,
marge and then, together.
But,
so margarine, just marge. Boom.
Did you know that margarine isn't in the UK anymore?
Isn't it?
Somebody told me that the other day.
What? What do you mean?
You can't buy margarine in the UK anymore.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
So back to
E3. Hang on, isn't stuff like, I can't believe it's not butter, isn't that margarine?
You find the word margarine somewhere in that packet.
Have they just taken out the word margarine then?
Yeah, because you're not allowed to say margarine.
Oh, for Jesus Christ. But yeah, so the flag, which was on top of the skyscraper, and it's now been downed, will now be in a different place because the skyscraper's fallen down. Although I think you can't, with what I've learned, you can't blow up every skyscraper. It's a set sort of animated thing.
See, that was what I was going to ask. Yeah.
But there was one point where there was a tank driving along the road, and they went into the subway underneath it and blew away a structure, so the tank fell through the road and got trapped underneath. Which
that's quite cool.
I thought it was quite cool, but I wonder if they're only set points as well. So it's one. But even still, an improved Battlefield 3 with the graphics on the console with 64 players is going to be awesome.
But if it's all just set ones, then it's irritating. If it was every single bit, if you could level a city, that'd
which
be
could,
awesome.
Which you could do in Bad Company 2 to a certain degree, although it didn't have skyscrapers. Is like everything can be blown up to a certain point, but I think he can knock down all the buildings, but they still could have walls blown away and whatnot. So say if someone's hiding behind the wall, you just blow up the wall and you can see them and whatnot.
Okay.
So but they've always kind of had that, but in Battlefield 3 it wasn't, the environment wasn't quite as impressively blown up as what you could do in Bad Company 2.
Okay.
But they're kind of going back that way, but with Battlefield 4.
Was there music in the elevator?
Quite possibly.
Cool.
Don't know.
Covering off the main points here.
It's got. I expect a lot of elevator gags when that happens. You know, like
fan pipes.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Fan pipes.
Mirror's Edge 2 apparently has been announced for in development at DICE for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC. It's powered by Frostbite, and I love this because everybody should do this. It's coming when it's ready.
Good.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. We're not going to get excited.
Them.
Just when it's ready.
It's ready. It's
when
coming.
We're done. We're going to give it to you. Yeah. Good point. Need for Speed Rivals.
It's open world as well. Yeah. In Mirror's Edge 2, which the last one wasn't, so that might be quite cool.
Need for Speed Rivals released on PC, Xbox 360, PS3 on November the 19th, 2013, and Xbox One and PS4 later in the year. Same old thing.
Call there's a lot of driving involved.
I'm not a fan of Need for Speed, I have to say, but people will be. So.
Of all the driving games, kind of tried to have an open world sort of thing. It was least. Well, there's one more impressive at the Ubisoft one, which we'll
yeah, we'll
to.
Come on to in a second. Finally, from the E3 announcement, apparently DICE are making Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
So we've been quite worried about this. They showed a video which didn't really show very much, other than a guy kind of wandering through snowy land, which I'm assuming was Hoth or something.
It was just announcement trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well,
and
they've always just got the licenses. No,
well, that's true. A spaceship crashes just to the left of them. He doesn't even look to see where the spaceship was. He just keeps walking forward, and then a big foot lands in front of him. Then the trailer ends, and it just shows Battlefront. Yeah. Well, we're assuming it might not be. It didn't look up. It was just a foot.
But it doesn't belong to anything else in Star Wars universe than an AT-AT.
But it could be. They could have made a new thing just for this game.
Why are you doing this to me?
it could just be a foot. Dropped out of the sky, just a foot.
Did the foot have a shoe?
It may have had a shoe under the
platform. It was a
clog.
Was,
a clog.
Was there a dinghy in the shoe?
No, there was two.
Two dinghies per AT-AT shoe in the Star Wars.
Yeah, because AT-ATs are quite big, so they need two dinghies per foot.
I'm glad it's panned out how, I'd, like in a past podcast, I said if the makers of Battlefield made Battlefront, it'd be awesome, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
DICE are making it.
Yeah.
So imagine. That's going to be fantastic, hopefully.
So, looks very, very cool. So,
touch wood.
Indeed. And finally, the last...
I knew
it was, wasn't it?
The last conference we're going to talk about is the Ubisoft one. Thanks, Chiz. He just threw his microphone muffle up.
Yeah, he already threw it at me.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? He's just working his way around the room. Good.
Yeah.
Right, so, Ubisoft. The first thing, really, Assassin's Creed 4. So we talked about this in the show before. Released October 29th in North America and from November 1st on PC, PS3, Wii U, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed 4, did anyone know, no one watched the comments, the amount of technical hiccups that happened. I've never seen, on the Microsoft one, when I was showing Battlefield 4, it didn't even start. Right. Like they're standing there for ages going, and the guy, and you could tell the guy on stage was getting really annoyed because there was a technical mistake. Eventually it got going and it worked. But at first when they got it playing, there was no sound, then it went off, and then they got it going. And the same with the pant, it was Crimson Dragoon, and they showed off the trail for that, there was no sound.
Right.
And I thought, alright, Microsoft, you screwed up there. But Sony had quite a few.
I thought it was Crimson Dragon.
It's Dragoon.
Was it?
Two O's or something like that. It's Panzer Dragoon.
I just remembered it as Dragon, because I thought it was just a dragon flying through the...
I think it's... I may be wrong, but I've always thought it's pronounced Dragoon, unless the person I heard
anyway, I didn't notice. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, again, I was just proving that I've actually bothered.
And at Sony's conference, Assassin's Creed 4 was shown off, where there was constant... Well, at first I thought it was just a stream, because the game kept freezing.
Right.
But it wasn't, because you see the guy on stage going... And I thought, oh, that's great. So we know Assassin's Creed 3 was a buggy mess, but yeah, even their stage show, which should be the polished stage show, was a buggy mess as well.
So
they've really got to pick up the game.
They have, but I'm hopeful for this, I have to say. And I know we were all collectively really excited about Assassin's Creed 3, and then collectively disappointed.
I was always hating Assassin's Creed 3 because it was racist.
Okay, fair enough.
Not because it's racist. Because you had a particular problem with a particular race that they were against.
It was racist.
Let's not give noble qualities to a.
It was racist against my people.
So apparently the
there's no Asian midgets in it though.
They want to deliver a brutal pirating experience that showcases drunken chaos and swashbuckling violence, and apparently it's the most ambitious open world game ever created, which I'm fairly sure is the same quote that GTA 5 is claiming. I really want this to be good, because I was really excited about Risen 2, and I, in my head, from what I've seen from this, I wanted Risen 2 to be this, and now I'm kind of hopeful that this will be this.
Do you know what?
What you're getting is a game where it's an open world to the point where you start a mission, then the mission's either tailing someone and then killing them, or tailing someone and eavesdropping, or breaking into someone, even though you're supposed to be like a super secret assassin, but you go on all bombastic, blowing stuff up and stabbing people's faces. But doing it in a manner where you have to do it this way. There's no option. And from what they showed off at the E3 conference, it was just more of the same.
And the
story will be the usual. Yeah.
I kind of have
crapness.
A theory on this, that it's either going to be a stealthy assassin thing whereby you're floating around on boats and you blow the hell out of people. Where's the stealth in that? So it's either going to fail in that aspect, or it's going to end up being quite a good piratey type game with this weird future business going on and nipping back and you're stuck in a lab and talking to people, which is going to f*** that up. So I just have a feeling that it's going to fail on both fronts.
It's going to mess up the whole pirate stuff because of its story and stupid missions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to fail on the other one because they're making it a pirate-y one.
I'm still hopeful.
I would like it to be good because everyone loves pirates.
I'd like it to be good, but Assassin's Creed 3 was crap.
Yeah, it was. It really
Who
was.
Who doesn't love pirates?
Anyway, Tom Clancy's The Division for Xbox One and PS4 has also been announced by Ubisoft.
Good.
So
they released that in the exact same way they did Watch Dogs last season, with a voiceover sort of over a cinematic.
Sorry, are we keeping you up, Sam?
Hey, this is so comfy. I'm normally kept awake by the pain, but this is so comfortable.
Yeah.
For that game, it was Watch Dogs last year. They faked the end on the show. And somebody, like the CEO of Ubisoft, would walk us. Oh, we have a new game. We'd like to show you. Blah, it's top secret. Blah, but never. It's the first time we've shown it to everyone. My generic accent there again, because he's French. and
it's like I'm
they there. Had a trailer for a whole bunch of information. Blah blah blah. Information this. Information. Oh, blah blah. People who do this with money. Blah blah. And then it got. And then it jumped into the game. And they did beat for beat, exact same thing for this new game, which is called, what's it called again?
Tom Clancy's The Division.
Which actually does look really, really good. Graphically fantastic. I want to see more of it. But they have just went, Watch Dogs worked for us last year, which just beat for beat, do the exact same reveal, but with this game.
Yeah, well, might work. Quickly, Gory's over The Rabbids, which is a TV show that you can interact with. We'll put that one at one side. And finally, the one that Chiz mentioned earlier on was The Crew.
Yeah, looks quite cool, but at the same time, to me. Anyone else, or am I the only one that's seen this game as well?
What is it?
It's a game. We're at the Gamer Show.
It's basically a driving game.
You're safe. It's okay.
An open-world driving game where they've mapped out like nearly the whole of America.
You can drive to anywhere.
They've got the whole city. I don't know how much of it is, but it's a huge scale. And you drive around and you can meet up with your friends and form a crew and do jobs. The jobs just seem to be what they showed off. The mission was, you have to go and ram this truck off the road. I went, okay, that's a brilliant mission. But it's just that's what it was, and you have races, whatnot. But I want to see if it's just racing and chasing people down, ram off the road while forming like a 4-man crew. That doesn't particularly get me that excited.
I disapprove. It sounds like it's encouraging criminal and antisocial behaviour.
So it's good for you then?
No.
And on that note, we complete the roundup. There's obviously a lot more stuff. You should consult your local Google for further information from E3. Oh, is there something you want to talk about still?
We have not.
What?
By far the most important thing there.
Oh, was there a Total War announcement that I missed?
Right. It looks phenomenal. Except the video that I in particular...
just exercising his ears at the moment.
Is it uncomfortable to?
His headset is really tight on my head.
The video that I watched, which Cheers also watched, and Bede watched, and we all said the same thing. The interviewer was a complete
asshole.
He was just a jockey.
All the video interviewers for E3 and IGN and whatnot were... keep picking this guy, but the only one that actually was decent was Daniel Dwyer again. All the rest of it, like the IGN host had Matt Stone and
Trey Parker.
Yeah. From the creators of South Park. And when you got them on, you got surely a bit of amusement and fun and games and whatnot. But the interview was so bloody god awful that the interview was terrible. And it's just like, and it's the same on, like, IGN are god awful. They're all terrible. And, like, fair enough, they can maybe write about games, but they can't present it on video. No. They're crap. Because what they do is they just get a pretty woman who's got an annoying voice who doesn't know much what she's talking about, and she introduces someone else who's interviewing the person, and they're just annoying and crap as well.
It was annoying. But Total War looked amazing.
I found that with the rest of the websites as well. Same with GameSpot. The majority of them, apart from Daniel Dwyer, were rubbish.
Have you had word back from him about your marriage invitation?
Not yet, no.
No?
No.
So, that was all the E3 coverage. As I say, there is more that we didn't cover. We just kind of picked out the stuff that we were most interested in to talk about.
I'm not allowed to talk about...
Was there not any more Total War way to say there?
It did actually look phenomenal. It was huge. Cool. It was integrating naval battle and land battle at the same time. There was deployable terrain, so you can put things in. Like, they had huge bales of straw that you could set on fire and kick down, that weighted straw that you could kick down and land on people coming up the hill.
War machines looked tremendous in it.
Yeah, they did. And well proportioned as well. They were like proper size, so like bigger, like it was a blister.
Yeah.
A couple of ballistas sitting behind, which were bigger than elephants, like they were massive. And ramming, the ships ramming just looked beautiful.
What the guy was saying in the interview is they've added a mass weight to different units and things. So if you've got a heavy infantry unit hitting a light infantry, they'll crash through and push them back. It just seems like that.
We can do longer, Paul.
A little bit better and better. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It did just look phenomenal. And the one thing that could be worrying, but possibly isn't, they were announcing that there's going to be strategic capture points around the battlefield, which, if they're just obligatory strategic tactical points on the battlefield for no particular, like in the middle of this cornfield, that there's no point to that. But if it's to capture a strong point on top of a hill, or capture a villa sitting in the middle, something that makes sense.
That's where I came in. Essentially, if the strategic capture points are for strategic objectives, then it'll be good. If they're randomly generated, it'll be awful.
Yeah.
Control this farm gate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, you got to see a bit of the world map, and that frankly looked beautiful. Like the city, you could see the cities growing as you added to them, and you built the walls, and then you got little kind of shanty towns and slums growing up outside the wall, and eventually you would expand and build a new city wall around them. It did just look amazing.
Cool.
So, for taking away from E3, what was everyone's favourite, the best game they saw there? Or the most to seen from people who actually watched it?
Well, I don't think the best game that I saw, but certainly the one that I'm most excited about, assuming it happens in the way that I hope it's going to happen, is Assassin's Creed 4. And I know I've been burned before. I should be once bitten, twice shy and all that, but I really, really hope it's a good game. And I take everything that you've said on board, Chiz, but I'm really hopeful for Assassin's Creed 4.
Sam?
My top three, as I posted on the thing, are the obvious one, which I'm not going to mention again. 1886, whatever it is.
Yeah, The Order.
I hope that's going to be really good, but only time will tell on that one. And the third one is The Rise, Son of Rome. That looked pretty cool.
Yep.
Steve?
I don't really have any.
None of them excite you.
Well, like so many of the games I looked at, and it wasn't really game footage. It was just teasers of cutscenes and stuff, so I'm going to be quite boring and say, I'll find out more.
I'll change the question then. Are you more likely to go with the PlayStation or the Xbox now that we know more about it?
Well, this is... I only really play games online, so I'm going to get the console most of my friends get too, so just so I can play online.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Beadle?
I'm going to say Rome Total War looked the best. If you want to ask me which console I'd go for, I honestly think probably the Xbox is going to win it. There's some nice things with the PS3, but in terms of the existing franchises, there are just stuff that I want to see finish. I want the Halo game, want whatever follows up, Dishonored... Mm-hmm. Xbox, I think, won it when they released the 360.
Yeah,
this has just been a little post skirmish.
I'm seriously at this point. I'm seriously leaning towards PlayStation.
I have to admit, I'm the same. But we'll just let Russell jump in. Russell, what was your highlight of E3?
I'm kind of the same in no highlight as such. I'm leaning more towards Xbox. And then again, I always have. But as I mentioned earlier on, I'm quite interested to see what Forza can do. So if I had to pick any of them, I want to see what they can bring to the table. I have been disappointed with the last two of them, but with the next-gen stuff, I kind of hope they can do something new.
Yep.
I would say the game I'm most excited about, or I thought, which would be Metal Gear Solid 5. Mm-hmm. And I think for an actual console, I think Sony probably won it with the PlayStation 4, because for what the console was, what it's going to be priced and what it doesn't do. and I think the PS4 will probably... Not that... As a consumer, unless you work for the company, it really doesn't matter. But I think for sale numbers, I think the PS4 will probably win this war. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. It's only fanboys and folk who work for the companies care. So, but I think I'll probably buy a PlayStation 4 at launch and get an Xbox One next year at some point if I can try and find it for a bit cheaper.
This is the thing. I do care which of them is going to be the best, because I know I'm only going to be able to afford to buy one of them.
Yeah, I know. But they'll both... No, but I think it's the PS4, I think, will outsell the Xbox One by quite a bit, but the Xbox One will still do well enough to be supported well, so I don't care if it matters.
There's a lot of questions and things which we've gone on and on about the Xbox and all this kind of pre-owned, blah, 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 blah. Have PlayStation really... I think it's been a little bit unfair on Microsoft, to be honest, because they've been posed a lot of these tough questions and people have pushed and pushed and pushed at them because they've kind of mentioned it. But has PlayStation kind of confirmed their position properly?
You can trade games. You can trade games, you can swap games just like you can now.
Right.
However, it's exactly the same.
Yes, but they have said that they're going to leave the price thing up to the publishers.
For the trading, but for online component, which is exactly the same what we've got now as well. So it's nothing's changed. It's basically the same set for PS3 to PS4. So.
Okay.
So I'd say it's Sony have got, and the amount of people ape fisting their keyboards going mad, that's going to they'll go with PS4.
I just remembered Chris before we did this sent me a message saying, is it PlayStation Plus? Is that what it's called?
They're charging for playing games online now. That's one thing that got brushed on the carpet, because we don't trade for games, but now you have to play games online on the Sony network.
Oh, it's cheeky. They are doing XCOM. For free, which he was really chuffed about.
Cool. So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by UK2. They are fantastic and you should support them. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and you will see that all the awesome voucher codes there for VPN, VPS, domain names, everything like that. You get 20% off domain names, which is probably the best deal you're ever going to get on a domain name. We need you to head on over to the British Tech Network and click on that link there so that they know that we sent you. Fill your boots with everything you could possibly want in terms of web hosting and everything like that. And that's it, really. We love UK2. We'd hope that you'd support them like they support us. Thank you very much. So, what have we been playing this week? Sam, what have you been playing this week?
Yeah, don't ask me.
Okay, you've been playing Empire Total War.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Chiz, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing The Last of Us.
Oh, that's actually something I want to hear about. Go.
Actually, I was playing Napoleon Total War as well, but, you know.
Yeah. Usually, Paul doesn't give a shit when he's talked over you. Yep, so far, very, very impressive. Probably some of the best sort of acting and dialogue I've seen and heard in a game. Some of the facial animations are fantastic. Overall story, I wouldn't say it's particularly anything new, but it's told very, very well. And it gets you engrossed. And it's well, since I played a game where it's actually quite fun just searching and scavenging for stuff, even though you're basically checking every nook and cranny, but it's done in such a sort of engrossing way that it works. I don't know what it is. Some of the game, its presentation just basically is fantastic. It's tense and scary at the right times, although it's still got the computer gaminess where you walk in an area and you see just a series of chest-high walls and stuff, and you go, yep, there's going to be a battle here. So it's still got that, which I suppose it's fair enough, because if they weren't there and they're going, right, we're going to chuck some people at you now, you kind of, it becomes kind of like a strafing game. You're just kind of, you're running around people shooting. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, having a series of, like, of crates and stuff, you can tell that they're there for to hide behind rather than being natural sort of stuff like it. I'm just going to dump a series of crates and random angles here. There's the one moment where, yeah, basically you're kind of, you have to hold off the enemy and all of a sudden you've got unlimited ammo, which I think I've talked about before. There's that moment which is a bit game-breaking. Well, not game-breaking, but kind of sucks you in. Kind of go, why? I've been scavenged for ammo and every bullet is precious. And now I've got unlimited ammo. It's the same gun I've just been using. So it's a few design choices I would like to have seen them do a bit different. I've had a few graphical bugs where the environment's just kind of vanished in front of me, then popped back in. And I've had that, like, random, but it's a bit where I've been. It seems to be hazy where it tries to force you to be stealthy. And there's some areas where you can just, where you can sneak past without taking them on and move on. But there's some areas where I've tried to do that and found, oh, it's not letting me move on until I actually kill everyone in the room. And I didn't realise that until I tried to get out, and I go, okay, now I have to kill everyone. So it's not quite clear, and it kind of forces you to do that rather than giving you the option. I would have quite liked to have the option of always trying to stealth through it. The combat works very well. I've had a few moments where if you swing a punch, it's like the animation's not quite ready to match it. Like, I've swung a punch, it's went through the guy, and then he smacked me, and went, all right, now you're ready to fight. I think it's just a little glitch that happens every now and then. But and there's been a few times where I've been trying to swing in one direction and the animation sort of trips itself up and doesn't let me go in the other direction. I have to press it 2 or 3 times till it lets me do it. And in the meantime, I'm getting smacked around.
What format?
PlayStation 3.
Are you finding that actually annoying enough that you're not enjoying the
game? No, not at all. It's
minor niggle.
It's rare enough where it's not that bad, but it's still kind of like it's a bug that hopefully they'll patch at some point. And one moment where I was clearing an area and I was sneaking up behind someone, and all of a sudden another AI just randomly appeared right in front of me. He just went and then it's like, oh. And so that was another sort of slight bug. That's only happened once, and you get the ragdoll physics where I've shot someone, they're dead, they're on the floor, I'm walking past them, and all of a sudden they'll just pop miles into the air and land again. That's happened maybe once or twice. So apart, there's nothing game breaking, but it maybe needs a wee bit of extra polish, which can still be patched up. But if you've got PlayStation 3, it's a must buy.
It's the only
fantastic
game I've seen information on that's made me think I wish I had a PlayStation.
Seriously,
Tokyo, whatever it was that I was playing?
Yeah, that was amazing. Fun. I would really quite like to give it a go, but I'm not bitterly disappointed.
I would have bought it just for that. I haven't got the money, but if I did, I would have bought a PlayStation just for that.
Yeah. I've not completed it. I don't even know if I'm even halfway through it, but so far, apps has been fantastic.
I also played the demo of what's that zombie
game.
State of Decay.
State of Decay, which was pretty... I really enjoyed that.
It needs more polish, but it's one of those games where you just, it's full of bugs, but at the same time, it's that fun and intense.
Yeah, like, I really enjoyed it.
All I could think when I was watching Dead Rising 3, it's like State of Decay with that sort of game engine and graphics would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
Bead, what have you been spending your evenings whiling away doing?
Well, not so much evenings, but spare moments on transport. I've been playing the Warhammer Quest.
Oh, yeah.
iOS game. It's quite nice, visually stunning. I think it was probably, I'm playing it on my phone, it's probably more designed with an iPad in mind.
Right.
Game's quite engaging in terms of the plot and throwing little interesting things in. The actual mechanics of the combat is not brilliant. It's...
Is it like double joysticks, invisible joysticks on the screen?
No, it doesn't use that. It's like a tappy turn-by-turn combat. A little bit XCOM-y, but with the involvement and the variety that you would get in XCOM. So I'm hoping that'll develop, because I'm not far into the game.
But right, okay.
What I can say is visually it's lovely. The presentation's excellent. And cool. It's, yeah, just need to see how it's going to hedge on further in the game.
You seem to be putting a shed load of time into it.
No, that's just around you, because I cannot stand your conversation. Right,
the one thing that you did mention, though, was that for additional content...
Yeah, they do charge you for, like, three additional characters you might want to unlock. But they do have...
Additional enemies as well, you were saying.
There seems to be an additional campaign to it that's reasonably priced. If I've enjoyed the first one, I'd have no problems chucking another. It's like £2-3 at it. Mm.
It's microtransactions, but done well.
Seems to be, because, I mean, I've got the choice. There's a fully working campaign.
Rather than
like
£3 for a hat.
There are a few things now like this, and a few other little games that I've seen Bede play, and some things that you've mentioned, that have actually made me finally think, maybe I'm going to get an iPad now.
Mm-hmm. You know, having the additional campaign, I guess, that you can unlock on it, it gives me the choice of, if I've enjoyed the first one, I'll maybe go and do it. But there's not content that I'm missing from the first one that I could have if I paid for it. I suppose the characters, but so far I haven't found a lot of difference between the characters anyway. So.
Cool.
What was the game that you were having problems getting loaded, mind you? Did you ever resolve that?
Sorry, Walking Dead.
Are you still having problems with it?
Yeah, although, Josh,
even the internet.
I bought it for my brother. In France, I found it downloadable. I bought it and sent all the codes and stuff over to him for his birthday the other day. And he had the same issues. And
what game was that, sorry?
The Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead, right.
And he's fixed it.
The problem that I've found with this is there are solutions for the specific problem on the internet, which is basically reinstalling DirectX or updating your video drivers. Done both, doesn't work for mine, so I think I've got a bigger issue.
Okay.
Which everyone at home needs to hear about. Care about my issues.
Steve, what have you been playing this week?
I'm playing...
Hi!
Hello, Steve. Grid 2. Which, I've only ever played it online. I've not played the single player game yet.
Just me and you've been racing, haven't we?
I've only ever really played it with you online.
Yeah.
And it's been...
You've been getting aggressive messages for ramming people off the road.
Flaming people and everything. It's amazing getting messages. You hit me off at the corner.
I did,
because you hit me off first.
You had one guy sat in the race, just reversed into him. Then took off and smashed your engine and you was through the race.
It's the only online racing game I saw someone start in reverse just to take me out. It was brilliant.
I maybe shouldn't get that game, because I think I would probably be quite hated in that game.
It's still a great fun game, and it's somewhat satisfying if you can. I've had a few races where it's just mayhem. The first corner is just Russian roulette. People just, even folk who are trying to drive normal, it's so easy just to accidentally take someone off, and you smash it, just mayhem. And if you manage to weave your way through intact and get in the lead in the first corner, it's just a real satisfying going, yeah, I'm a lucky git. The more people we know picking up, because it's one of those games, I think, if you get like between 5 and 12 of us all, like a 12 game of people we all know in a private race, it's going to be fantastic.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like when you're driving right on the edge, the cars are really difficult to control.
Right.
So you could be following someone and they could suddenly just swerve off into a barrier for no reason. It's just, you're right on the limits the whole time.
What, 10 times up, because you're using the person in front of you as a braking point, so when they lose it, you tend to lose it as well, because they've obviously braked too late and you go, right, I'll try and outbrake this person. Oh, God, that's too late as well.
Yeah. All right, okay. That sounds fine. Good. Yeah, it's no, good. As I say, I was going to pick it up a couple of weeks ago, but when the Ouya arrived, I didn't, but I might pick it up now.
Good.
Why is the Ouya not
Well, no, we talked about this in the last show. Yeah, okay. No, it's not.
Out of interest, since the last show, have there been more games appear on it?
I would love to say I've switched it on since the last show, but no, I haven't.
All right.
No,
I just think it'd be interesting to check, not necessarily to even bother playing, but just to have a look.
Sure. I have been playing an iPad game, actually, that I found called Bridgie Jones. That's not Bridget Jones, that's Bridgie Jones.
I saw you put the game notes in, I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. So basically it's kind of a physics game. So you've got a steam engine, and your dog falls in love with another steam engine. Yes, I know. So in your steam engine, you have to chase this other steam engine so that your dog can get to it.
Okay.
But when one steam engine goes over, like, caverns, the bridge falls away, and you have to rebuild it using stuff. So you get, like, string and railway lines and wood. And so by building the bridges, and you have to build the bridges really strong so that your train can go over the top of it.
Really strong out of sticks and sellotape
You've got, like, big beams, wooden beams,
right.
And
you
railway line.
Put them together with string.
And you can use, like, rope to hang them over large gaps and stuff like that. So it's a physics game. So you basically have to make, like, triangles out of your wood that then support, like, the track and stuff like that. It's quite a fun game. It's a bridge builder game, but it's got a little bit of character about it, because the whole kind of the main guy who's driving the steam engine, who owns the dog, he's quite funny because he comes in every now and again and he blethers to you. And you have, like, achievements you have to do. So you have to try and do it by only using one item, or, like, two items, or only using one anchor point and things like that. So it's kind of challenging. I quite like those bridge builder games, and this is the first one I've seen that's actually kept a bit of a story going, which has made me want to carry on playing the game.
Okay.
It's quite good.
The story elements of bridge builder games are the most important thing.
Yes, they are.
But this one has a story element, which makes it most interesting. So that's what
I found that when I was playing Train Simulator. It was very much the dialogue that kept me enthralled.
I thought you were just trolling for prostitutes.
And finally, this evening...
I think Steve had a point there he was going to make.
Oh, sorry.
Was there not a Tetris game that tried to add a narrative onto it?
Oh, I remember that one now.
Oh, probably.
I'm sure it was on, like, some old console.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, last
save
time
the
we
blocks from death.
The last time we couldn't remember the name of a game in the show, two people contacted us to tell us what the name
of it was.
I'm
sure
so
people will tell us what it is.
Yeah, if somebody knows the name of the game that Steve's referring to there, please
and
give us a
and
shout.
What the hell it was about.
indeed. And finally, we'll just do the bargain basement. I have a confession to make. I completely forgot the URL, and also it looked a bit rubbish, so I didn't play my game.
That's not part of it. All our games look rubbish. If that's the way we're now working, Bargain Basement is dead.
I will play it for next week, including my next
Cat
game.
Mario. That's how it was.
Oh, it was called Cat Mario, wasn't it?
All you needed to do was listen to the podcast. Or put it was in the notes, was it not?
It wasn't in the notes, no. I will play that along with my next game.
But,
I
to be fair,
you've
played Mario
it.
Before. It's just that with a cat.
No, but this is
no, it's different.
It's different. This is like an version of Mario.
Oh, right. Okay. I played my games. I played Beijing. I was really bad at swimming. I was really bad at the gymnastics, whereby you just press, you just go, like, they're doing, like, a cartwheel or something. You just go, beep, boop, 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 and land. and that was it. Swimming was awful. Archery was okay, and the shooting one was okay. And that's as much as I could stomach. I then played the Modern Warfare. Ghost Recon.
Oh, yeah.
And frankly, I wasn't very good at that. I had played it before as well. I kept forgetting that I was part of a group and just charging
just wandering
off and kind of doing it myself, which was more fun. But got quite badly mauled often. Mm. There we go.
Cool. Chiz, you had Tiger Woods, didn't you?
Yes, or Old Man Simulator, as I like to refer to golf games.
Could you have extramarital affairs?
Unfortunately, that's
just
not...
Just wander off into the crowd.
This is 2010. I think this is before that game feature would have been
rubbish.
Installed.
Appropriate.
Hopefully it's in the newest version.
Which I hear is like almost a remake of Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. The most fun bit was just making a guy have ridiculously long socks. And it's a golf game, which, to be honest, it's closer I'm going to get to golf. It's golf games can be quite fun, because actually quite. It was only the Wii Sports game I actually enjoyed. But yeah, I think. But I won't actively take up real golf until I get to a point where the only things I can actually do is physically move my arms, and that's the only sport I can do. But yeah, it's golf. Made my guy look silly. Hit a ball in for the hole. I did all right. But it seems to have like three or four different ways you can choose. There's four or five sort of different game mechanics of how you want to play the game, how you want to swing. So a different sort of meter using the analog sticks, the buttons, and you can kind of choose how you want to play the game, which
it sounds quite complex.
It does, but you just kind of try each one and then find which one you actually prefer to use. It's trying to cater for everyone, which I thought was quite cool. A nice touch. But yeah, if you like golf, the last time I probably played a golf game would have been the original PGA back in the Mega Drive days.
Yep.
Which I remember when my brother got his first hole in one that and basically did laps of Elston. And it's alright. I'd say I'm not a fan of sport, but the actual game's, I don't know, one of those games that's still quite fun.
Good. Bede, being that you were given a Bargain Basement game away.
Long awaited.
Best part of a year ago when you last appeared on the show. Have you played it?
Yes, I have.
In the last year? I bet you played it in the last week, actually.
No.
All right. Well,
yesterday.
What was the game?
It was like the week before. It was Time Shift.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which it was probably
it's not a terrible game.
Relatively solid game in its day. Graphics look a little bit dated now. I think I wouldn't go back and buy it. There's better games there now.
I think I remember it dropped heavy, like months after it came out. I think I picked up for like £10 or something like that.
I remember it being quite fun. Yeah, some of the characters were quite entertaining.
My major problem with it was the guns were just arse.
Yeah, it's not satisfying.
Oh, that's another problem I had with the Ghost Recon. The guns, it was just like...
The sound effects
were... It's an air gun. It was rubbish. Sorry, mate.
Well, no, I mean, these ones you felt like you would have been as effective spitting mouthfuls of cold gravy at them. Like, no game should set you up to empty half a clip into like a standard enemy before they leisurely flop to the ground. It feels like you've been given a bad gun. So that upset. And they've all got an alternative fire, which is just an alternative way to embarrass.
Maybe it's just your obsession with crotch shots, and they're quite strong down that area.
It doesn't have the kind of aim you would need to have a crotch shot.
Okay, cool. So
Steve, what was your game like?
So, Chiz, your games are in the CEX bag at the back there. There's only two left.
You found that in the bin the last time, then?
No, that's not my one. That's Kirsty's one.
All right. Is your still in bin?
No, that's not a bin. That's a recycling box.
All right, so it's been recycled.
Still in the recycling box, then.
That's in my bag.
All right, you did find it.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so Chiz, what have you got?
Choice of two games here.
Which one's the sports one?
Not that one, which I've got. It is Frontlines: Fuel of War.
Just give me the bag. It
just looks like an awful war game, which I seem to keep getting as well.
What have you got, Sam?
Ghost Recon. Is it the same one?
No,
it's the first one.
It's the first one.
You see how it all began.
Well, actually, at the start of Ghost Recon 2, you're sitting in a like little truck, and this driver bloke just tells you the whole story of the first one. Like, you were so amazing. Can I? Ooh, I love the way that you stormed the square in Mexico and saved. Blah 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 blah. I love you. You're amazing.
It's like I actually owned this game. When it first launched, because it's one of the rare games when the Xbox 360 came out, that was actually half decent. So there's no point in me having it, so enjoy.
Yay, huzzah.
Very good. I got an email from Steam just before the show having a game gifted to me.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that was my game. I forgot what it's called.
I cheated. I've gone £1 over budget.
Ah.
Sorry.
Okay, what's the name of the game?
I can't remember.
No.
Smooth.
Right. Steve, play some music while Sam, Paul, Sir Luke's. Go.
All right, okay, here we go. Oregon Trail. What?
Yeah.
What quiz show is that from? Again.
Jeopardy.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
it was.
Okay, so I've got Oregon Trail Director's Cut.
I thought this looked quite good.
Okay.
Bede helped me in the decision-making process.
I actually did hear good things about this.
Okay.
What's it about?
Zombies.
It's supposed to be a revisiting of an earlier game that was like a little crappy. Can I say crappy?
Yeah,
you can say crappy.
Yeah, you can say as well, Bob.
You can't say.
Paul just needs to bleep it.
Okay. Anyway, so it was remake of a yeah, pretty average game about driving somewhere, but this time you're driving somewhere only there's organs. I skimmed over the review, but they did seem to be positive.
What type of organs? Was this?
I don't know.
Like Hammond.
I think it was mostly Hammond penile, wasn't it?
Right.
The foot organ.
Penile
organ. The, if you want to contact the show, please email us, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. If you want to contact me, you can get me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. If you want to contact Sam, he's Dr. Nasty Flaps on Twitter.
I'm just giving up.
He never replies. He never even reads it.
No one's... I've got nothing to reply to.
Steve, are you on Twitter?
Yes.
Are you got to...
I won't bother.
Give us the address.
It's not really video game related, but I'm Mr. Beard.
Okay, Mr. Beard. Bead, I'm assuming you're allergic to that type of thing.
No, I've actually got Twitter. I'm at Creepy Bead.
At Creepy Bead, there we go.
I looked at it once last year.
And if you want to follow the network, it's at British Tech on Twitter. Please, please, please join us on the Facebook page and the Google Plus page. Since the last show, actually, we've had quite a bit of chat on there. So
yeah,
join that community and blether with us. You quite often will get a rant between Sam and Chiz having a go at each other, and you can be involved in that rant, so it's awesome.
What I particularly like is how they both post as the gamer show. It just sounds like a man having a schizophrenia.
I've actually started trying to go in and post this myself.
Yeah, I do that too. And finally, just to mention, the British Tech Bash is in 3 weeks' time. So 3 weeks yesterday, I think. The tickets are now £30. So if you can come along, and that'll be awesome. We're going to be there. The Gamer Show quiz will be there.
Are we bothering having a show between here
yes,
now and
do.
Then?
Yeah.
Oh, sod.
Yes. So we'll have one more show before the British Tech Bash. Please come along and grab your ticket. Go to britishtechnetwork.com. Click on the link to get your ticket. That will cover all your food and drink for the day. It will be fantastic. There's lots and lots of stuff happening, particularly the Gamer Show quiz. If you want to join one of the teams, then think about who you want to join. You can either join Sam's team. Another person that's never been on the show before. He was supposed to be on this episode, but he couldn't be on. He's going to be leading one of the teams. Ewan for the British Tech Network is going to be leading one of the teams to fight against Chiz, the mighty Chiz, in the British Tech quiz.
Have we abandoned the other teams?
No, there's only one other team. I've not decided whether we're going to get another team captain yet or not, but we'll sort that
it's
out anyway.
Just like the Republic team, where they just vote
yes, for a team
their
captain.
Answers. There
finally,
is no team captain. They
finally, there's the curry on the Friday night, which is 3 weeks Friday past, or 2 weeks on Friday. There's a deposit to be paid for that, £10, so you can also get that on the britishtechnetwork.com. That's the show. Thank you very much, Russell, who's not here anymore, Bede and Steve, for joining us. It was very kind of you to spend your Sunday afternoons listening to us prattle on. And we will see you again in 2 weeks. Good night.
No, thanks for us, eh, Jason?
Mm. No.
Disgrace.
Ass bag.
What was that thing in the that quote from the five awkward love moments, sexual moments in games? It's like a bag of anuses or something.
Something like a bag of arseholes, maybe.
Arseholes sounds poor. I don't know.